Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together.
Things that are in you right now. Guess what? They must come forth. Because you are a gift. Come on, sing that again.
You are a gift from God.
I prophesy to those things that are real.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it blesses my soul to welcome you all here to Daughters of Naomi on this Wednesday, September the 14th, 2022. And before I go any further, I just want to bless God for the Spirit Alive Sisterhood that is in the house in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, and also one of our anointed speakers for this evening, Pastor Vanessa Carver. I also would like to say, we also have in the house with us tonight our beautiful mothers from the Good Shepherd Church over in Oakland, California. We have Mother Givens and Mother Mattie in the house. And my friends, we also have some mighty men of God sitting in tonight. We have Bishop Lester Carver in the house, and we also have a young man that is going to come and bless us on tonight in the persons of Pastor Terrell Tubbs. So he is going to be teaching us about sacrifice. Hallelujah. But before we go any further, let's begin with a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace right now, asking that we decrease and you increase so that you might have all the honor and the glory and the praise. We pray, Lord God, that our listeners will be edified, Father God. And Lord, if there is someone that is listening tonight that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, maybe through this program they will hear something that will cause them to give their lives to you. Lord, I pray that this program tonight is received in the love that it is given. And I pray that you get all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. Well, saints of God, we are about to get down to the nitty-gritty. We're going to get down to it. We're about to tell you the 411 and give you the tea. So, in a way that will bless you, young ladies, we love you. But tonight we came to tell you that your child is not a chain, a check, or a pawn, but your child is a gift from God, as declared in Psalms 127 and 3. And I wanted to do this program because I've been in ministry a very long time, and there's been a lot of years now that I have been seeing young ladies that have been getting pregnant in the hopes of keeping that boyfriend, but he leaves anyway. For years, I have watched this, some young ladies that live in poverty resort to having more children as a way to increase their income. And for years, I have watched as young ladies use their children as pawns and they play mind games with fathers. Or they use them as pawns to get what they want from others around them. And the reason that this is happening is because there is an increasing emotional, spiritual, and physical disconnection between mothers, fathers, and their children. But we came to tell you tonight that the time to reach and teach young people about the great gift and responsibility of raising a child is before they get pregnant. Because that speech about how they should have never fornicated is going to be of absolutely no use to them after they're pregnant. So instead of beating them up, you know, with the ideas and the attitudes in the world today, I know that might be hard for some of us Titus women. You know, some of us have fallen silent about instructing our young sisters. And as I have said before, it might be in part because the elders feel like they're not being respected or they're not being listened to. Or in part, they might feel like no matter what they say, it's going to be drowned out by what is being heard and seen on television and social media. You know, they glamorize teen moms. You know, they glamorize soap operas. So if we want our daughters and all women and men to be holy, righteous, and virtuous, then those of us that know, we must teach and show them how it is done through the Word of God. Now, please understand that this is merely a precautionary program. It is not being presented out of judgment or condemnation, but it is being shared because we love you, and we don't want old flathead Satan to continue to ensnare our sisters by you having children when you are not prepared. To begin with, this family pathology can set in motion so many emotions and actions that can leave a lasting legacy of woundedness, brokenness, anger, and resentment. And I will need for you to know and understand, no matter who we are, where we live, or what our goals may be, we have one thing in common, a legacy, a heritage. It is a social, emotional, and spiritual legacy passed on from parent to child. Every one of us are passing on a family legacies, and we're also living them out. So we need to know and understand that our children having a spiritual, emotional, and social legacy is like a three-stranded cord. Individually, each strand cannot hold much weight, but wrapped together, they are strong. That's why passing on a positive, affirming legacy of love and faith is so important. And it's why a negative legacy can be so destructive. But the good news is you have help. See, with God's help, you can indeed pass on a positive legacy to your children, whether you receive one or not. And I came to tell you today, if we don't intentionally pass on a legacy that is consistent with what we believe to our children, let me tell you something. The culture, our cultures will pass along its own, and it will often lead to a negative end. So it is so important to remember that passing on spiritual, emotional, and social legacy is indeed a process. It's not an event. And as parents, we are responsible for that process. You see, God is responsible for the product. We can't do God's job, but guess what? He won't do ours. You see, in order for our children to truly prosper, they need an enduring sense of security and stability, nurtured in an environment of safety and love. We also have the unique opportunity to develop healthy conversations surrounding emotional things, mental health things, relationship things, because they all fall into that family legacy. So I'm asking you, what kind of legacy are you leaving to your child? What are you laying down for that young man or that young woman? Because, see, not only do they need an emotional legacy, they need a social legacy. In order for them to succeed in life, our kids have got to learn more than management skills. They've got to learn more than accounting, reading, writing, and, you know, geometry. See, they need to learn the fine art of relating to one another. And not just relating to one another, but relating to one another in a way that God will be pleased. And when they learn to do that, guess what? They're going to have an edge on life. And now, often I had to include this because many times the spiritual legacy or the legacy of faith is overlooked. But that's a big mistake, because one, as spiritual beings, we adopt attitudes and beliefs about spiritual matters from one source or another. Mine is God. Who's yours? Furthermore, as parents, we need to take the initiative and present our faith to our children. But you know what? We also need to know that every family pathology or every family legacy will look different. Remember, the goal isn't to compare our families, but we have to look for opportunities to create unique habits, to have those conversations that matter. And we have to be honest. And then you have to put your children first. You have to prioritize. How do I have a meaningful conversation with my child? But many of us are struggling to overcome our own emotional legacies. We are struggling to overcome our own emotional baggage, our inadequacies, our attitudes. And this hinders us in our ability to cope with the struggles of life. And it causes us to disconnect from our children. And when that disconnection happens, it is not good for the mother or the child.
Amen.
And out of that
Amen.
Can come so many attitudes and thought processes that will keep us from having a closer walk with God and a closer walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus. Now, tonight I'm going to give the floor to Pastor Vanessa Carver, who is our resident counselor, and she's going to talk to us a while about mindsets and what comes out of this dysfunctional family pathology. And then we're going to have Pastor Tubbs come in, and he's going to tell us about sacrifice. And after that, we will hear from the mighty women of God of this assembly. Hallelujah. So right now, Pastor Vanessa, I want you to come and bring us what the Lord has given you and take your time.
Thank you, Pastor Cook. Good evening, everyone. This is a loaded subject because there are so many different systemic issues with this generationally. And there are some deep roots to these issues, and Apostle Cook did an amazing job just citing some of them. But when you think about one of the topics that she's talked about as it pertains to generational legacy and see it as a separate branch with many twigs on it, that lets you know the complexity of this issue. But I do believe that God has created, we have the mind of Christ, and so he created us to be solutionists to many of the ills and problems that we see in society. And this is one that we do see. It goes across cultures even. And so I just want to jot down some things. First thing is I always have to start with Scripture and end with Scripture because that is my biblical worldview. And that's how I live my life. And from that, the Holy Spirit speaks in between the lines. And so I'm going to read Titus 2. I'm going to start at on chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I will be volleying back and forth between the Amplified and the Message Bible. And then I'm going to highlight specifically a scripture, probably 6 or 7, just to kind of let you know this is where I'm going. And so it goes this way. It talks about this is about sound doctrine and a God-filled life. Reading from the Message Bible first. Your job is to speak out on things that make for solid doctrine, guide older men into lives of temperance, dignity, and wisdom, into healthy faith, love, and endurance. Guide older women into lives of reverence so they end up as neither gossips nor drunks, but models of goodness. By looking at them, the younger women will know how to love their husbands and children, be virtuous and pure. Keep a good house, be good wives. We don't want anyone looking down on God's message because of their behavior. Also, give the young men to live disciplined lives. But mostly show them all this by doing it yourself. Trustworthy in your teaching, your word solid and sane. Then anyone who is dead set against us, nothing weird or misguided might eventually come around. Now, I want to go back to guide older women into lives of reverence so they end up as neither gossips nor drunks, but models of goodness by looking at them, and the younger women will know. So as the older ones, and it goes back to the scripture, the old shall teach the young. One of the things, I used to hear that all through my childhood, all through growing up in church, and then I had a pastor, the very first pastor from my youth until my young adulthood, who took me aside one day when I was in the middle of going through a divorce and quoted me this scripture. And this commentary he gave was very sobering, but it always stuck with me, but true. And I pray that this is going to be less and less of an issue. But he said, these days, he said, the old can't teach the young. He said, because they haven't dealt with their stuff. The older women and the younger women. And when he said that, that stuck with me, not to be bucking and being rebellious or to stand up and justify my junk, but it let me know that was a sobering note to me, to let me know, especially when it comes to this topic, when we talk about generational legacies, we have to be, especially as ministers of reconciliation, take some level of responsibility and accountability for what we see.
Amen.
And not in a place where you're taking on false burdens, but the level of humility to be able to be teachable so that you can teach the young women as it pertains to their bodies, how they take care of children, and how they, especially for those who are wise or want to be wise, how to do that, and sober-minded and being honest. I've had some very candid conversations with some women that I've mentored, and they said nobody ever talked to them about that because there's some women in church who are so sanctimonious and pious that they can't even talk to them. Like they've never been out in the world, like they've never been single, like they've never done anything. So the younger women have this thing where they can't really talk to them, or they feel ashamed, or they feel rejected.
Yeah.
And so I think that is one of the divides that we see to this day. And I think that's got to stop. If we can build that wall, we can tear that wall down. And we have to do it. We can't compare, just like Apostle Cook said, my life and my junk to your junk and go around with these medals on our chest. Like what I've gone through is bigger than you. And I know better because you're younger. And I'm just going to watch you cross the street and let something hit you just because I'm thinking that's the only way you're going to learn. Instead of saying, hey, sis, or hey, sweetheart, let me sit down and talk to you in a loving way. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say, but the Holy Spirit will also tell you what not to say. The Holy Spirit will also tell you what not to look, how to look at them, or what to ignore what you see versus how to address it. I truly believe he is the paraclete. He is the teacher. He is the counselor. So when it comes to these issues of generational guilt and rejection, which is what is the manifestation of why we see women using children as meal tickets and being very deceitful and, covering up stuff. There's a rejection. There's a spirit of rejection here.
Yeah.
We can teach them. That's a whole other subject. And there's also this level of accountability and true, and it's like Apostle Cook mentioned about resentment and bitterness. As long as we keep it real, which transparency is key.
Yes.
Let them talk. Listen to them. Not to counsel them.
Amen.
Not to finish their sentences. Listen with
Come
them
on.
And sit with them.
Amen. There you go. There you go.
And then while you're doing that, you will begin to understand. You'll get word of wisdom and word of knowledge about what you should address and maybe some information that they didn't tell you. But the Holy Spirit will tell you how to use that intel. I call it intel.
Yes.
How to use that information.
Holy Ghost.
Not to beat them up, not to bury them, not to talk
about
them to somebody else.
Amen.
But
That's
come alongside and help and guide without being oppressive and without making them feel less than. They are wonderful. I mean, there's some powerful young women with many gifts and mixes, and we're to encourage them and push them forward gently. And I think that and we have to be accountable for the junk that we've created in these atmospheres and ministry. I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about ministry. To the point where young women will never come to church.
That's right. Come on,
will never come to church and look down on people that do. And really all mm-hmm. it is what you're hearing is hurt. They're hurt. There's church hurt.
Yes.
And I'll end with this. I'll end with this story, and this is a true story. My mother had me at a very young age, and she was 16 when she had me, but she was 15 probably when she was carrying me. And she would go to church, and my grandmother, who was her mother, had friends that were very close to my mom, and they knew her and would always give her accolades for being cute, for being smart, and all this stuff. So one day she came to church after not being in church for a while, and she was showing, and it was me. She was carrying me. And she would start to show a little bit, and she, you know, began to cry because she felt ashamed. So she went downstairs to go to the bathroom, and she went into the bathroom, and she saw her mother's best friends talking about her. She heard it. Mm. She didn't go to church for 2 years after that.
She would send us,
but she wouldn't come because she heard them talking about her, and that hurt her. And I just want us to take those issues and realize that we got to do better, but we also have to repent if we've had taken part of any of this as it pertains to these young women and why we see what we see. I know that there may be some people on this panel tonight that may feel very differently about this, but I feel weighted down by this because I believe that we created this inadvertently and indirectly. So therefore, God has given us the solution. He's given us the remedy for it. And it is our responsibility to heal and to facilitate healing. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. That was good. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I liked all of that. Praise the Lord. Now get ready. Thank you, God. Let me just, now I'm going to bring to you a young man that I met, and his spirit was so anointed. And he told me some things, and I just asked so much so, and he impressed me so much so that I have asked Pastor Terrell Tubbs to come in because he wants to talk to the brothers. He's going to give us more application, and he's going to talk to us about sacrifice. Hallelujah. Pastor Tubbs, you have our undivided attention. Come on in and tell us what the Lord put in your heart, and take your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, everybody.
Amen.
I appreciate y'all having me tonight. So, sacrifice, considering the situation that I'm going through with my children. I won't dwell too far into that, but, you know, I will tell you a short story. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I grew up there until I was about 10 years old, and my mom, she was married to someone for that time, and that wasn't working out. She found someone, though, who was good. His name was John. And so she met John at McDonald's working there in Cleveland. They were together for some time and got married shortly afterwards, and we moved here to Columbus. And so throughout this time, you know, meeting this new man named John, I watched some of the things that he did because obviously as a young boy, we want to learn how to grow into a man.
Yeah.
And some of the things I realized was this: with the subject that we're on tonight was the sacrifices. The sacrifices that he made, and they weren't even for him. They weren't even for his benefit, but he ended up benefiting out of it. So, what I watched was, you know, his patience with my mom. You know, because when when we have children, we're still growing, and these kids are watching us grow up as well as we're helping them grow up. And there's phases of our lives where we need someone that can help us grow through a part versus fight us through it. And my mom, she was in a phase, I don't know what it was specifically, but he stood right by her side through everything, you know, through her insecurities and her anxiety and her anger. And the sacrifice that he made was, it was every day, you know, that was his wife. These are his kids, me, my twin sister, his two daughters. And every day he made sure he went to work. He never missed a day. He made sure he told us that he loved us. He made sure that he held my mom. And I thought it was just the simple sacrifice of the 9 to 5, you know, the monotony of things. So I really didn't pay too much attention to it. But then as I got older, I realized, like, that sacrifice made everything for all of us, you know, including myself. You know, I run my own business now, and it's off of everything that he taught me. And that time that he took out to answer those questions for me, that time that he took out for my mom, that time that he took out to go to work to make sure the rent was paid every month through all these years before he passed just a few years ago, I realized that that time was a sacrifice. Uh-huh. And so as I grew older, I had kids myself, and I learned more about sacrificing. And really, I commend and respect and praise God for the women that we do have who are strong women and help support us through, you know, as we grow into men.
Hallelujah.
And they have our babies. And the sacrifice that I see, and I see it more so with women than men, I'm not trying to be sexist or anything, but I see it, the sacrifice is when a woman has that baby most, they have that baby, that's their life. And a lot of guys don't see it that way because of the quote-unquote freedom that they have, you know. But that sacrifice, I admire that sacrifice because it was almost the exact same sacrifice my stepdad made for my family. And when you see the two of those put together, it's just like, ah, that's it right there. That's what you're supposed to do, because it's not even about the immediate gratification of whatever you're doing in life. It's about the sacrifice you make for the future, because we were given that sacrifice, you know. And so, yeah, sacrifice, gratitude for it came from just going through life. And I don't really have a lot to say on that specific subject other than telling you about how I learned how to sacrifice and what sacrifice was. But, yeah, his name is John Mason. He passed in his sleep with a smile on his face. And
he must have knew Jesus.
It taught me also. Say that again.
I said he must have knew Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah, he did. My mom actually brought him to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, she definitely helped him go down that road to save himself. He wasn't doing anything crazy. He just didn't have a path. Still had that sacrifice. And that's what she.
Hallelujah.
Was. But yeah, I like to see that in a lot of our women and men nowadays, making that sacrifice for the better for the children, not just for themselves, because our future lies in our hands with these kids.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if we don't teach them how to do this the right way, I'm not really sure what the future holds.
Amen.
So... And, of course, that stems from a lot more that's going on in my situation, which hopefully some other time we get to touch up on that. But that's what I have for this evening.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So what have we heard so far? We have heard that we as Christian parents should be leaving a legacy. We should be having a positive legacy of faith, a legacy of love, and a legacy of hope. Hallelujah. If we want to teach our daughters and our sons to be godly, we need to teach them how to serve. And we need to especially teach our daughters their worth. The first program of Daughters of Naomi was entitled Know Your Worth. The second program was entitled Responsibility and Accountability. The third program was entitled Sense and Sensibility. Are you picking up the pattern here? See, as women of God,
We should be the first ones to teach other women their worth. See, a lot of women, these women get out there here and they get hooked up and with these men because, as Pastor Vanessa has said, they have low self-esteem. They don't really have a lot of self-worth. Maybe that wasn't demonstrated in their home because of the disconnect. So many young women today, their mothers and that, you know, the mothers are making their daughters their friend. Let me explain something to you. I'm over 60 years old right now. I didn't become my mother's friend until I moved out of her house. So we have to be, we can't be, you know, we are called to train up our children in the way that they should go. We have to be accountable and responsible to these young people. We have to tell them the really real. You know, there is nothing glamorous about being a teen mother. There is nothing fun about having to raise a baby by yourself.
Amen.
You know, you need to make sure that our young people understand that once you bring a life into this world, you're responsible for that life. See, I don't have any biological children. Simply because at a young age, my mother told me this, the day you bring a child into this world will be the day that you take care of a child, because I am not taking care of your child. We have, you know, we have become complacent. The word of God says, be ye holy because I am holy. But see, too many of us want to live holy with a twist. You know, we don't want to tell our daughters what they need to know for real. We, I call her apostle. As Pastor Vanessa said, we don't want to have the conversations. We're so self-sanctimonious and we're so busy being hypocritical. And, you know, then you get them sisters up in the church. They might see a young lady who is with child and they stand there with their chest puffed out, talking about, my daughter would never end up in that position. I've been in ministry over almost 40 years. Let me tell you something. Those are the very daughters that call me from an abortion clinic, okay? Mm-hmm. Because they were too ashamed. They were too embarrassed to go tell their mother or their pastor what was going on with them. Why? Because mother is there telling everybody what their daughter ain't going to do. Let me explain something to you. You don't know what your child does 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
But we need to connect. We need to get back to raising our children, having them conversations. Turn off them cell phones. Turn off them tablets. And I'm talking to you, parent, okay? Because we're consumed. We have access to more in the most information that we have ever had. But yet, we're living a more chaotic life than ever.
Yes.
We should know, you know, we're good at going Google, Siri. Oh, yeah, okay, let me tell you something. Google or Siri can't tell you how to live for God, okay? And we need to be having these conversations before. You know, like I said, preachers love to stand up in the pulpit when they see a young pregnant lady or, you know, they hear tell of a young man got a girl pregnant. Oh, the word of God says, you know, we shouldn't fornicate and this and that. Okay, well, why wasn't you taking that young man to the side and having that conversation when you first found out he had a girlfriend? You know, why are the sisters not taking that young lady to the side and letting her know that this is not the way? There is a more excellent way. Let her know she is worth more. See, my mama taught also. My mama, she taught me a lot of stuff. I'm telling you, that's why you always hear. My mama taught me, okay, to know my worth. Because she said, when you give a man you, You have given him your best and you have given him your all, and that is not for everybody, okay? Young sisters, do you hear me? You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. You are not, he did not create you simply to have children, okay? He wants you to be a strong, independent young woman the way he created you to be.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you, everything that look good to you, it's not good for you. It's not good for you. And
that's
the enemy is sabotaging your future every time you lay down with somebody and have unprotected sex. Because when you have that unprotected sex, guess what? There is a chance a child could come into this world. Now, I'm telling you what God loves, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So right now, I know we have some more case studies, and we have some comments from the mighty women of God, and we're going to have some more comments from the men of God. But right now, I'm going to take some comments from the women of God, and I'm just going to go down through the panel. Hallelujah, because we got a lot of women up in here. All right, Mother Mitchell. Come on in the room with your thoughts on this subject. Since I just got through telling on you, she's my mother.
Well, she's just hanging me out to dry here.
Yep.
But, you know, I heard the young man say something. And, you know, usually when we hear the word sacrifice, we think of it as something being really sometimes a bad thing. Sacrifice is not always a bad thing. I remember being very young when I was carrying Bishop Cook, and the other kids was out running and playing, and I was home trying to figure out how I was going to get her next pair of stride rights. Not any shoes, but stride rights, so she would have her ankles protected. And she could walk right, and she would have strong, and she could do what she needed to do for herself when maybe I was no longer here. So, you know, you think of these things as sacrifices, but they're what needs to be done. And
I think
you have to put older people used to have a word for it, and it's not coming to me right now because I'm one of them older persons now. But
sometimers. Go ahead, brother.
For your children, because if you don't, nobody else will. And I want to say something to the grandparents. And again, I don't mean it as judgmental. I don't mean it as condescending. Stop letting your children off singing out there in their streets and run and play and bring their children back to you to raise. And you so old and tired, you can't hardly get yourself around.
Well,
do not let them do that to you. Do not let that happen. Because every time you give them permission to do something like that, they're going to do it because, it's a lot more fun to be out there in the world running around and getting babies than it is holding down the
job. Amen.
You better say that.
Do it, and don't you help them to do you and themselves in.
Yeah, don't enable them to kill you both.
Yes, and a lot of times the parents, the grandparents, they will say to me, well, what about the children? What's going to happen to them? I said, well, baby, listen to this. Who did God give the children to? You are your daughter.
Yes, amen.
If God gives the children to your daughter, then it's up to your daughter to decide what's going to happen to the children, not necessarily yep. you. But once you take that responsibility out
they'll
of
give it to
hand,
you.
They will give it to you.
Amen.
And they will keep giving it to you. And
amen.
Keep giving it to you.
Thank
and
you,
keep
Mother.
Giving
thank
it to you.
You.
Until you're laying in the front of the church in a coffin, and they will find somebody else to give it to. Because
amen.
They don't know what else to do. Thank you, Bishop.
All right,
I mean,
Mother.
Thank
you
said
that.
Amen.
Thank you, Mother. Look, Mother, just look, I'm going to tell everybody, and I laugh. Look. Just because I'm an apostle does not mean I stopped being a bishop. I'm still the overseer of this joint. Hallelujah. So you ain't saying nothing wrong. Hallelujah. Minister Tina, come on in the house, girl.
Oh, praise God. I was anxiously awaiting my turn. God has put a couple things on my heart.
Amen.
Young ladies, number one, there's no man that's going to save you. He's not going to save you. He may or may not marry you, but don't count on that. There's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? Do not expect a man to take care of you. You have to know how to take care of yourself. And part of that means building your life around Christ in a Christ-centered environment. Number one. Number two, parents. Pay attention to your children. Where is your child? Where's your child at?
Where your
Who's your
at,
child
girl?
With? Who are they hanging out with? Where are they going after school? What are they doing?
Say it, girl. Give them an application.
And know what your child is doing. But there's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ our Lord. And also, just to throw it out there, the children are blessings. These are gifts from God.
Yes.
It is a sin to mistreat your child because of the situation you put yourself in.
Come on, say that again.
God does not like it when we mistreat his children. What does he say? It's better to wrap a millstone around your neck and drop yourself in the depths of the sea than to harm one of these.
That's right,
if God looks at the children with that much worth, you cannot take a child for granted. It is not fair to the child, number one, and it's not God's way, number two. So, young ladies, no man is going to save you. No man is going to take care of you. Only Jesus Christ is your Savior. And parents,
that's right.
Do you know where your children are? Pay attention to your children. Your children
that's
are priceless,
right.
And they're gifts from God Almighty, and we cannot take them for granted.
Yeah,
amen.
Say that. Amen. Thank you, Minister Tina. See, this is why I love being apostle and spirit alive. See, I don't have to work hard. Hallelujah. We do this as a this is a family thing. Hallelujah. So now I'm going to call on our beautiful mothers from the Good Shepherd. First, I'm going to have Mother Givens come in and have a word, and she will be followed by Mother Mattie. Let the mothers of the church speak. Amen. Mother Givens.
Amen.
Good evening
Amen.
To all.
Amen.
This is a beautiful topic, and I just thank God for all those who express themselves so that our children will be able to hear. And we need to introduce our kids to the Lord, because
Amen.
There are friends that they go to
Amen.
Who are not
Amen.
On their side. They will destroy you. And what we need to do is, as Proverbs 18:24 says, I know the Lord, there's a friend who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. So I ask you, Lord, the kids to help me and go to God first. Go to your parents and then go to the Lord and ask him to protect you from all hurt and harm, because there's so much hurt and out there. And as someone has said, the young man, he's out for what he can get, and the young woman is weak enough to fall for what is being said. So be strong, young people. Go to the Lord and have him give you the answer to what you need to know.
Amen.
Amen, Mother Givens. That was good. Oh, she got me stirred up. You know, and when we don't take care of our children, when we take our children for granted, like Minister Tina said, when we don't stick to our children closer than a brother, you know, we are literally setting them up for as prey. You know, the Word of God says, do not provoke your child to anger. But it also tells children respect their parents and honor their parents. But, you know, a lot of times, like when Pastor Vanessa said, when you have a child and say you thought you were going to keep that boyfriend, but that boyfriend went on about his business, now you're sitting mad.
Yeah.
Now you full of resentment. Now the words out of your mouth to that child is not going to be, you ain't going to be nothing just like your dad. You ain't going to be this. You ain't going to do that.
It's worth nothing.
We are supposed to speak life. And if you are a parent, the one thing you do not do is speak badly of the other parent.
That's
you
right.
do not antagonize your children. Because, see,
that's right.
what they'll be ready to do is get out there in the street where the sex traffickers can get them.
That's right.
Where the
big
man can get them.
That's
where
true.
The pimps can get them. You see, the Satan wants you to be disconnected, parents.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to listen and hear your children. He doesn't want you to pray over your children, to prophesy life over your children. But that's exactly what we need to be doing. Because, like I said, we cannot be with our children 24 hours a day.
That's right.
So we have to understand. If we don't protect our children by teaching them the word of God so that they can be armored up, the enemy
man.
Will take them out. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus gives us life and life more abundant. So if we want our children to be successful, we must teach them about Jesus so that they can live an abundant life.
Amen.
Now we're going to hear from Mother Mattie. Now come on in the room, Mother Mattie. I just had to throw that out there right quick.
Amen.
That's okay.
Amen.
That's
come on,
okay. God bless you for this attempt and all the Spirit Alive family. God bless you, Mrs. Givens. I love you all. Giving honor to the Almighty, Powerful Father God, Almighty, Powerful King Jesus. They are the head of my life. I thank the Lord for you all. And thank you, Bishop Cook. I thank you so much, Bishop Cook, for giving us a chance to speak, all of us. And I enjoyed what everybody said. The young lady was talking about her mom was pregnant at a young age. That really touched my heart. And the young man that said his stepfather was more of a father to him than his real father. And his father, whoever Mr. Jones was, he was a good man. And I know he was a good man. He took care of his family and took care of the children and embraced them as his own children. So that right there, that, you know, that touched my heart. And I have to say, just like Bishop Cook said, I don't have children. I never had children. But I tell you, children are a gift from God. And whether you have had children or not, you still are mother material. You still are father material. You're a parent for somebody. I always talk about my mother, you know, who's gone home to glory to be with the Lord. And my mother was a wonderful mother. I lost my dad at 5 years of age. But my mother taught me about the Lord, taught me how to pray before I got 4 years old. I learned how to pray, say my prayers, say my grace. I knew about the Lord. And all children is not that fortunate. My mom babysitted a girl. This girl name was Deborah. This girl was half black and half Chinese. Her father, Mr. Art, he's gone home to be with the Lord. He was in the service. His wife was Chinese, and she gave birth to Deborah and left her in the hospital. Mr. Art had to take his child home because the mother just birthed Deborah and left her in the hospital. And he would work, and he would get different people to babysit his daughter. So my mother babysitted his daughter. Deborah, when she became grown, she never did forget my mother. Never did forget my mother. She became grown, moved to Stockton, and would come way from Stockton to Oakland to visit my mother. And when she visited my mother, she had a child. had a baby in the baby stroller. And she told my mother that, you know, she had a baby. She's not married to the dad. And, you know, so forth and so on. My mother told her, she said, Deborah, I'm not going to tell you what most older people say, but I'm going to tell you this. Sweetheart, you made a mistake. That's all. You're not perfect. Just don't keep on making the same mistake. And don't look back. It's all right. You have brought a baby into the world. You take care of your baby and embrace your baby. And she, you know, she talked to her and let her know, you know, put God first. It's all right. You had a child. Take care of your child. Put God first. You can take care of your child. You can do it. And Deborah, from that day on, she was relieved because she was ashamed. She was ashamed. But her mother, my mother consoled her. My mother consoled her and told her, it's all right. It's all right. And I have to say, even though my mom babysat it for her, Deborah felt like my mother was a mom to her because my mom loved
children. Praise the Lord.
And in Deborah's case, her mother birthed her and left her in the hospital. All she had was her father, Mr. Aunt. So she never knew the love of a mother. She never knew love in her life. She got involved with a man. She got involved with a man, and she had a baby. And I guess she felt like if she had a baby, that would be what that would take the place of it. But because some people don't have love in their life as a child, and she didn't know what that was. But I have to say, my mother gave her the best advice any mother or mother that babysat for you or whatever. She gave her the best advice that anybody could have given. And from that day on, she was strong and took care of her child. And I thank my mother for being there. And see, my mother gave encouragement. That's what we have to do. Not put our young people down because they made mistakes and have a baby. Give them encouragement. Let them know
that
the Lord first. They can make it. They can take care of their baby and themselves. They don't have to have no man to take care of them. So that's what my mother was instilling in Deborah. And you know, I don't know where Deborah is, but God bless her and her child. And I pray that she's all right. We have to embrace our young people because they become pregnant at a young age. It's nothing to be ashamed of. We as older people supposed to embrace our young people like my mother embraced her and talked to her and wanted her to be strong so she could take care of herself. Take care of herself. And you can do it. If it doesn't work out with the man, whoever the man is, I mean, you can be married to him or he may pass away. Still, you can make it.
That's right.
Can make it. You can do it. We have to embrace and love our young people. We have to do that because some of our young people don't know what love is. And that child, her mother just birthed her, just left her off, left in the hospital for her dad to take her home. That's so sad. You know, everybody have a cross to bear. Everybody have a cross bear. And everybody has a different cross to bear in their life. And we just have to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And I thank God for my mother being there for Deborah, for her to understand she could make it and take care of her child. And she took care of her child. And I'm just thankful for that. And for the young man mentioned his stepdad, your dad, Mr. John, he's resting in the Lord's arms. He's with the Lord.
He said
young man said he had a smile on his
face.
He had a smile on his face because he knows God. He knows
Lord. Jesus. He was going home.
When you know the Lord for yourself and the pardon of your sins. That's why sometimes I just cry. I just cry and I think about my mother. My mother stayed on her knees. She was a young woman. I lost my father at 5 years of age. But the Lord provided for my mother, provided for me, kept a roof over our head, kept food on our table.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Wasn't
nobody but Jesus.
Lord, I thank you. I thank you. So she's working for the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. King David said,
mother,
I once was young, but now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Even their seed is bread.
Say it.
When you know, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord, I say. Wait.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you.
Father God say, God say, be still and know that I am
God.
He
is God.
I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh, Lord. Lord.
Yes,
when you know,
Lord
when you know, 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 when
you're
stepping
away.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
What you've been through, but you know what you've been through, and the Lord know what you've been through, and you can tell somebody
yes.
else.
Yes.
So
thank you, Mother Matty.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And love you all. Love you all.
Love,
love
you,
too,
Mother Matty. Thank
you,
you so
love
much.
Yeah.
And Mother Matty brings up a good point. Unconditional love will go a long way. And we can tell the young women that the sin was the mistake. But their child.
Yes.
That child is still a gift.
Yeah.
And also, she brought out something that I want to mention right quick to the young men. Young men, there was a time when the court systems, you know, were favored the mothers. I'm here to tell you that in 2022, that is not the case. Young men, I want you to know, if you believe that your child is in any kind of danger, if you believe that that mother is unfit, and because let's keep it real, when someone has a child, when they're not prepared, chances are they can pick up some habits that they wouldn't have normally had. The stress
That's
of
right.
raising a child has may have that young woman saying, oh, I need a drink. The stress of trying to raise a child alone might have that young sister saying, oh, let me smoke. But I want you to know, if you find that situation, you have a right and a duty to go and petition the court to get visitation for your children, or even to take custody of your children. Because the most important thing is your children. So don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
Don't think just because a mother is playing games with you and may not want you to see your baby, you know, just drop off the check and go. You have a right to see your child. You have a right. You take the one. You go to court and you get the order. Because you take responsibility. Because as a man, that is still your job, okay? So if you are a man out there tonight, a brother, young brother that loves the Lord, that is truly trying to be meaningful, active, and necessary in the lives of their children, we just want to encourage your hearts tonight that the court system is no longer stacked against you. So please, if you need to go get custody of your child, know that it can be done. Now, at this time, I'm going to bring in my dear sister, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and because I know she has something to say. Amen. Come on now.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This has really been great. Such a blessing, and you know, just so thorough about everything concerning the topic. Just such a blessing. I listened to everyone and thoroughly, and it was just so good that everyone shared. Truly, you know, we must be a sacrifice. If we have children, you know, we must know that we must sacrifice for them. And I enjoyed the brother Tuttle sharing about that. And I just want to say that it's love that's instilled in us that causes us to sacrifice, that brings about sacrifice. It's the love that you have for the children. And we know where that comes from. It could only come from God. And then we make that sacrifice, whatever that is that that they need, you know. And Pastor Vanessa was one of the things that really touched me was, you know, when you see these young women and you see the things that they're doing and so forth, you know, we don't always know the reasons why. And she touched you know, sometimes they're hurt even in the church. And not always by the women, although they can be they can be hurtful with the words that they say and deliberately shame them, you know.
Yes.
I've seen it done. And then, you know, we all also have that other. We have men in the church, evil men. We have perpetrators in the church that have touched some of these young women. And they know that they're not right. And they have been hurt. They've been promised things that they didn't get. And because of the wickedness and the sinfulness of those that actually hurt them. So, you know, we have to be careful about how we look at them and what we say, you know, because we don't want to abuse them even the more, cause them
we don't want to victimize them all over again. Amen.
No, we don't, nor condemn them or shame them, but we want to instill hope in them and love and let them know that Jesus loves them. And, you know, as she was saying, too, you know, don't just sit back and watch them and decide that this is just what they're going to do. And I know she didn't say it in those words, but you know, we can't do that. We need to reach out to them. As Mother Mati said, encourage them. You know, they need encouragement. So we need to do that. And Minister Tina Brown was saying that they are a blessing, and that's what we have to look at that. They are a blessing, praise God. They're a blessing to God, and they should be a blessing to us as well. And they should be told that they are a blessing
every day.
So that's not too much. Amen. And they should know that somebody loves them. They should hear that every day as well.
Yeah.
Praise God. So it was really a blessing. You know, I had a lot of thoughts in my head too, but a lot of them were brought out by what the different ones said. And Mother Givens, I really want, she said, you know, if you're not sure about something about the children or about the child, ask God.
Yeah.
You know, he will speak to you. He will show you, you know, because I know, you know, God gave me mine. I know for sure each one of them. I have four, and they're all from different backgrounds. The Lord taught me how to deal with each one because I learned that you can't deal with them the same way.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit actually guided me, which we aren't surprised about that, because when we ask, you know, we get our answers, and I know what to say to each one. You know, I knew how each one. You know, I knew their temperaments. I knew all about them. So I knew how to handle each one. Some required more than some of the others, you know.
I know that's right.
So God, you know, the Lord will show us how to handle them, how
will.
To teach them. And we have to bring them up in the way that they should go, you know.
Amen.
And if they depart, that doesn't mean
they'll come back.
That they're not going to return back to the Lord. I've seen it in mine. I've experienced it, and I thank God. But you know, we have to just know, use wisdom, ask God for wisdom, and not only our own, because we're not talking about just our own tonight. Even in those that we're in contact with in the church,
yes, ma'am.
Those that come to us, those that feel close enough to us to come and share certain things with us, we can encourage them. We can pray with them. We can teach them how to pray. You know, we can allow them to know that whatever you did, you know, God is not holding that against you. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
So it's been a really good good topic tonight, and such a blessing. And I trust that some of the younger women that heard will really learn from it. Will
yes.
You know, will know that it
Hallelujah.
Really is, that it really good for them to hear,
yes, ma'am.
To hear this, the skills and things. And, oh, and I wanted to mention parenting skills, too. Sometimes,
yes.
sometimes some of the parents just don't have the parenting skills.
That's true.
And we, those of us that do, we need to teach them. We need to let them know certain things that they can do for their children. They don't. The children
yes.
don't need a spanking all the time. You know,
right.
sometimes they need you. They need for you to draw them close
yes.
to you, and love on them and tell them that
yes.
you love them, and you know, and just let them know that you care. Because
yes.
Sometimes I've seen especially younger parents, some not younger either, grab their children and just start spanking them for the least little thing.
Yes.
You know, and it's not, and sometimes it's just that they need attention. And
yes.
so they'll do something that's negative in order to gain attention. So we have to be careful. We have to be mindful, you know.
Yes.
That they need to know that we love them. They need to feel
yes.
it. You know, we need to show it. We need to speak it. All right.
Yes.
I'm going to stop.
Well, that was good.
You.
That was good like camera soup. Now, before we go to Bishop Lester Carver, hallelujah, little sisters, young sisters, older sisters, whomever that this is touching and reaching, we just want you to know the bottom line is this. Our children are carefully taught. They're watching us. As
Amen.
I said earlier, we are creating a legacy. So some of us as adults, we really need to go back and allow God to wound that child, to heal that wounded child in us. We need to go back and take care of our issues, because you pass them on to their children, your children, and they will pass it on to their children. For
yes,
instance,
they will.
If all a child hears is hollering and screaming and throwing things, they will believe that's how you deal with conflict. So if we want our children to be godly, then we must first be accountable to God and accountable to our children. We must be responsible for our children. We must teach our children wisdom so that when
Amen.
They go out into that world, they will know who they are and whose they are. You
yeah.
see, my mama did not play, okay? I was teaching, but we had Bible studies in our home, okay? That's all I knew from an early age. My mother was always encouraging. See, so when I got out in the world, the first man that told me I was beautiful, that didn't turn my head, because my mama told me I was beautiful all the time. My mama told me I was powerful. She told me I could do anything that I wanted to do, and I'm doing it. So what we speak into our children, how we prophesy
mm-hmm.
over our children
Amen.
Is so
yeah,
important.
Yeah.
If you think your child is having some issues, like all the servant leaders have said, we need to be praying and asking God to show us what it is and how to speak on it.
Amen.
Because just because you don't speak on it does not mean it's going to go away.
That's right.
Does not
mm-hmm.
mean it's going to go away. So we have to look at, address it, and deal with it. We can't go
yeah.
back talking, making excuses. We can't, you know, we can't cover it up because we're worried about what Sister Jenkins is going to think because our son or daughter is now having a child. Okay? Well, like Mother Mattie said, what we have to do is rally around and be that village. Help that young lady
mm-hmm.
learn how to cook if she doesn't know how, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while you see her overwhelmed, you might walk over and say, hey, can I sit with your children for just, you know, for a minute while you go in and, you know, just have a little me time? You know, there are many things and many ways that we can show love to our younger sisters.
Amen.
But the most important thing that we need to show, tell them is all is not lost. You know, your mistakes are not fatal or final when you know the Lord. Now, Bishop Carver, come on in here and tell us what the Lord has laid on your heart, because I know you busting to say something. Come on in the room, Bishop.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. I'll tell you, I was very moved by what Pastor Terrell had to say this evening about how his stepfather sacrificed and covered the family, a family that wasn't his. And I've seen men do that. I think when we look at the history of family in the Bible, we can go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when Mary was conceived with him. And Joseph's response, he knew that baby wasn't his, and he was going to put her away quietly. He was going to divorce Mary. And then the angel spoke. And after the angel told him what was going on, and told him that it was a holy thing that was within his wife and that he was not to put her away, but he was to stay with her. That is the love that we all have been called to exist, to look past ourselves. And I'll tell you, I've been in a similar situation. We're all going to be in that situation when we are walking in love, where we get past ourselves and learn how to play our role and to cover those who are uncovered. So God is concerned about the widows, about the orphans, about the fatherless, right? I want to look at one passage of scripture that people struggle with the idea of structure and the fact that God designed things to be a certain way and they just want them to be the way they want them to be. But look at what God says in 1 Corinthians 11:3. He says, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And what God is showing you in that verse is that the one who needs no covering is God. The one who covers Christ is God. The one who covers man is Christ. And the one who covers woman is man. So that the one who needs the most covering is woman. And she's covered by man, Christ, and God. The one who needs a little more covering is man. He's covered by Christ and God. And the one who needs covering the most is Christ, because he's been asked to do the most. And he's covered by God. And God needs no covering. So it is a privilege to have somebody covering you, because that means you're protected. This world is a hostile, violent place. And we can rise up in pride and choose to do it on our own. But that's what would have happened if Joseph had put his wife away quietly and moved on with his life. But God said, you have an assignment here. And Joseph accepted that assignment. And because he accepted that assignment, we're all benefiting from his obedience to God. I just want to encourage each and every one of us to accept our assignment. And in some cases, you're going to have a man that's not playing his role, not being the man.
Right?
And the woman's going to have to step in as she submits to Christ. Because Christ is still covered by God, and she's covered by Christ until that man gets his act together. There might not be a man. That man may have died, right?
Yeah.
But God is going to send those workers to intercede. I know when my parents got divorced, there were men of God who stepped in, and they helped me to grow as aged and I became a teenager and I grew up. And these men of God stepped in, and they all helped to advise me and cover me and direct me and show me how to control myself so that
Come
I
on.
Can become a man of God like them.
Hallelujah.
I just want to thank you all for sharing what you shared tonight, because the women is really where this all starts. If you go back to Mary, Mary
mm-hmm.
was the one who had the discussion before
mm-hmm.
the discussion got down to Joseph. Mary had to
Come
say
on.
Yes before Joseph had to say yes.
That's right.
But then
Come on.
For things to be in order, Joseph had to say yes, and he did.
That's right. Come on,
but
Bishop.
But when we all play our role, the family of God is unstoppable. So I just want to encourage
right.
all of you. This was a great, it was a great show, great discussion. And I'm looking forward to someone being blessed tonight from what they've heard of all of
Hallelujah.
These great men and women of God that have shared tonight.
Amen. Thank you so much,
Amen.
Bishop.
Amen.
And the last thing I want to say to my beautiful little sisters is this. God, like I said, you have been fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And he did not create you to depend on the Department of Social Services to take care of you. He did not create you to live off of child support checks. He created you to be mighty. He created you to be all that you, he wants you to be all that you can be. He wants you to be your best. So we want you to understand, beloved, that your children are gifts. They will not hold a, they will not help you to keep a man. They are not income. They are not pawns on a chessboard. But they
Amen.
Are they need love. They need nurturing. They need to know about respect and responsibility. They need to know about accountability. Hallelujah. They need to know the wisdom of God. They need to know the
mm-hmm.
word of God. They need to know how to pray according to the word of God. And what they need most is for us to mirror what we're saying. See, we have too
Amen.
Many in the church. We have too many in, I'm talking to the church right now. We have too many people in the church living holy with a twist. So now we're complacent. You know, we act like God ordained the institution of marriage, not shacking. God ordained you to have a role. And you will never know your role unless you get to know God. Now, we have one in our chat room that was blessed, and she said, this is Tiffany from New Orleans, hallelujah. She said, she typed to me that she was one of those young ladies that didn't know love because her mother didn't know love, and her mother didn't know love before her. My Lord, that's three generations of people who don't know how to love. So we, as believers in Christ, should always demonstrate that love and use whatever gift God has given us to encourage, to empower, and to impact our young people. Our sisters mm-hmm. and our brothers. I would
yes.
like to thank all of our anointed speakers on tonight. God is so good, and we truly pray that you will get it. You had a revelation that you, or you heard something that you can truly take away. I'd like to thank Mother Mitchell, Minister Tina. Oh, hallelujah. I want to thank Pastor Vanessa, Bishop Lester, I want to thank Mother Givens and Mother Mattie. I want to thank Pastor Terrell Tubbs. And, of course, I want to thank my side, my right hand, Apostle Zeta Flowers. And we want to thank all of you for taking out time of your in your busy schedule to come out and join us on tonight. We all pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend. Hallelujah. Well, it's only Wednesday. Have a beautiful and blessed week.
that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and we pray that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow, hallelujah, you can hear our wonderful pastor, Vanessa Carver, as she brings us her program, Wounded No More. This is an awesome program because, see, it's a program about overcoming. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, no, that's next week. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that's next week. Lord, I love my pastor, Vanessa. I'll be waiting on her I'll be waiting on all of your programs, really. But you need to check her out. Also, you need to check out on Monday nights, alternating Monday nights, you need to check out Pastor and Bishop Carver for their program, God's Great Love for You. For more information about us and what we do and when our programs come on, all you have to do is go to Facebook. I'm on Instagram. And to re-listen to these programs and rebroadcast 5 minutes after the program, all you have to do is Google it, and it will bring up all the programming for Daughters of Naomi for you. So, again, be blessed. Hallelujah. Go in peace. And it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night. And God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, everybody. God bless you. I sure
good
do
night,
love
God
you.
Bless
good
you.
Night.
Good night.
We love
good
you.
Night, love
love you.
Good night,
everyone.
Love
you. Love you. Love you, Pastor. Love you, Pastor Terrell. Love you all. God bless you.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night.